Good afternoon, patrons, and welcome to October Patron Cast, and a very special Patron Cast. This has obviously been this is a Patron Cast to quite a few more people than the previous one. This is the first Patron Cast I've done since I kind of did the big announce I was going full time, and one of my very very rare plugs for Patreon. In fact, I think pretty much the first time I've mentioned Patreon on the channel since when I actually announced Patreon became a thing in the first time. I'm very bad at ever bringing it up. People kind of occasionally tell me I should have like the odd end card at the end of the videos that mentions it, or I should use like the cards on screen to like advertise it just like once in a while. I feel very bad about it. I still quite haven't got over the mental hurdle. I feel very bad asking people to support me. So that's something I need to work on. But we've got a huge, amazing response to it. Like the scale of Patreon at this point. It basically means now, like, my absolute kind of core living expenses, you know, keeping a roof over my head, that sort of thing, I can now pretty much cover with the Patreon income, which is spectacular, because that obviously kind of means that even if, like, I have an absolutely terrible month on YouTube ad revenue basis, I can kind of, you know, I know I'm not going to run into trouble with actually kind of keeping a roof over my head, which is, it's kind of, it's mainly just a thing about security. It just makes you feel a lot better. The thing is, like, it's very unusual, because obviously I had a full-time job until recently, and like you have a paycheck at the end of the month, or at least I did because I was a full-time salaried employee. So, you know, you have a paycheck at the end of the month and you know what's going to come in at the end of each month, which is kind of, you know, therefore you can plan how much is also you're going to need to spend that month, how much, you know, how much is your rent or whatever going to be, and you can kind of budget accordingly. YouTube, you just can't do that. You've no real idea how much you're going to earn in any given month, which is a problem, because if your income massively goes down and your outgoings have to stay the same because you're on a contract, problems. So that's kind of why Patreon's amazing, and it's a huge help. So thank you to absolutely everyone, and I hope that kind of, you know, from what you've seen in September, you kind of think that you can see the change. I think September's been a great month. I think it's been a really great start. I think we've had some really good videos. I think hopefully you can see this kind of, There's longer videos, there's kind of videos that have had a lot more kind of work put into them. There's a lot more kind of those, like, quite labour-intensive, but really good series that people like Why Not Wednesday returning. The community event was fantastic. I had great fun the community event. I hope kind of, you know, some of you kind of listening were able to make it into the community event, because I had great fun then. I'll definitely look to do, like, one of those, kind of probably one of those a month, I'd say, will be kind of what I aim for. I don't know. I mean, it might be a bit wibbly and say like November, because November's so much that's going to be eaten by Fallout 4. So that kind of might be a bit wibbly, but kind of especially I think once we get head into the new year and there's kind of a lot less stuff to cover, I'll probably try and do like one community event a month. Though I want to also make time for live streaming. That schedule's still a little bit up in the air. I don't really know kind of how that's all gonna look yet. I'm actually gonna kind of skip forward to one of the questions I was actually asked when I put kind of the request for questions out on Patreon itself, because like there's one that was kind of very relevant to this, which is someone kind of asked like how has my routine actually changed since I went since I kind of went full-time doing YouTube. Well, like the first thing, like probably like the most important just for like me personally, is like it's been a really positive shift. Like I was kind of worried, I didn't want to say it at the time, but like I was kind of worried that, you know, when you start working from home and thus you're kind of, you know, your home and your workspace become the same thing, and thus, you know, you don't, you know, commutes aren't good. Commuting to go to work is not a fun thing, especially in London where commuting is very, very crowded. You know, it's not a fun experience. It's very expensive to commute as well around the southeast of England. But, you know, you're just kind of thinking, you know what, you're getting out of the house a bit less, you're spending a lot more hours in your own home. Do you kind of become a bit of a hermit? Do you kind of get a bit lonely because you're not working with anyone? Because it's basically just me. I mean, I've got Tabby for company, obviously. But, it's, you know, it's basically just me on my own a lot more. Is it going to be lonely? Is it going to be weird? Is it kind of going to be less enjoyable than you kind of dream it would be? It's actually been really positive. It's been really, really positive. I mean, kind of, you know, the advantage is I was doing this in my kind of spare time, in my kind of my weekends for a long time. And pretty much every holiday I've taken like a week off my job previously for the past like year, I would basically just spend that entire week here working on videos, which is pretty much where, like, things... That's pretty much how Why Not Wednesday survived for the past 6 months. It's just I took time off work to do those kind of high-intensive series like Why Not Wednesday, which is why they were very irregular over the past 6 months as well. But because I've kind of had that experience before, it's felt really, really positive. I've enjoyed it a lot so far. It doesn't feel lonely because it doesn't feel quiet because obviously... You're talking, and obviously that probably makes me sound incredibly mad, because what I'm basically saying is, I'm not lonely because I've got myself for company. But, like, you know, when you hear your own voice, and when you're editing, you're listening to your own voice. So it feels like, you know, there's noise and there's talking and there's sound around. It just kind of, you know, it doesn't feel like you're just kind of sitting alone silently in a room. It generally feels like there's a bit more noise. And things like, you know, incoming messages and comments and emails make it feel a bit more lively. It's you know, it's... Though this is kind of a one-man operation, if you like, it does have the advantage of, you know, it's really 115,000 people operation, if you like. Because you guys are a huge part of it as well. So it kind of feels like there's, you know, there's more stuff going on than just me sitting in a room. So I think it's been really positive. I've really enjoyed it. And I hope kind of people can start kind of seeing it in the quality. The same person did kind of ask, like, how it had kind of changed how I worked in general. Like, well, unfortunately, there's a bit of a truism that I feel kind of applies to me here, which is, unfortunately, kind of work expands to fill time, which is, even though I've got a lot more time, it just means I kind of put a lot more time into things. So I probably work pretty much the same hours as I used to. Actually, probably a bit less. I don't work in the evening so much anymore. Now I can pretty much just work a full day, albeit probably quite a long day, because time previously that I would have spent commuting back from my job to here, I now just work through anyway. So I'm probably actually spending as many hours a day not relaxing, but I can take what used to be commuting time and working. So I'm probably possibly working more hours during the week. I don't mind. I don't feel it anyway. I feel a lot more relaxed about the whole thing. So that doesn't really kind of matter to me. The biggest change, I suppose, I think there is, like, I think about the videos in a very different way, and in a very good way as well, because previously I used to have to think about which videos would be efficient to make. Efficiency in videos, by the way, basically means how many hours will I record versus how many videos will I get out of it. And basically, something like, say, something like the Dead Island video that I did this last month, that's like a video that would have been impossible before I went full time, because that basically was a full day's worth of work in order to make a single video. And if I only had my evenings and weekends, that's just not feasible. That's why you kind of probably saw quite a lot of roguelikes during July and August, because things like the Curious Expedition, I could record for a single afternoon and have enough footage to basically make four videos out of, which is really, really great. And that doesn't mean you're not going to get any more roguelikes. I really enjoy roguelikes. You had Bedlam during the last month. And I totally want, by the way, FTL to make a return at some point, albeit I'm struggling to find a slot for it that works kind of during the rest of this year. I suspect maybe it will come out in, like, there'll be a bit more FTL in December or January. That's kind of a bit hard to say. But yeah, instead, kind of now I can more kind of say, if I just want to sit down and say, you know what, I really want to make an amazing video about this game, and I spent an entire day making one video, which is, for example, how Viva Pinata was. That was an entire day for a single video. I can do that, because as long as I'm making a video a day, I'm not falling behind. So it's absolutely fine. So, you know, that allows me to kind of do some really epic stuff in the midweek as well, not just kind of having to kind of put some, what I always called it, filler. That's not fair, because I don't think they were bad videos, and I don't necessarily think they were worse videos. Curious Expedition, in fact, was really, really popular and will almost certainly come back because lots of people seem to love it. But you know what I mean. It felt to me more like I recorded it because I didn't have a choice but to record highly efficient videos, if you like. The only kind of question that raises for me is like a question of video length, which is, I think especially after this next week, because I'm doing something this next week that I'll get to in a minute, I'm starting to worry whether I'm actually putting out videos that are too long. I know that, you know, that to some people that will sound ridiculous, but what I mean is, if I put out a video every day that's like 40 minutes, is that asking too much of some people? Will people just like watch less videos because they don't have that much free time in their evening? I always used to aim for about 30 minutes, and that's what I think I actually should be aiming for. Every time I produce a video that's 45 minutes, with the exception of Fallout, which is kind of the exception to the rule. Fallout, it doesn't really matter how long it is, and people kind of seem to love it if it's longer anyway, so that's fine. But generally a video, I ought to be aiming for half an hour. And this next week, I've got quite a few very long videos during the week, and I'm kind of wondering if that's going to be too much. And I might actually put that to, like, the vote of the community at some point, just to kind of see what people think about that, whether actually I should be aiming for shorter-ish videos. And by shorter, I still mean half an hour. I still mean very healthy videos. I don't think you're ever going to get, like, kind of, you know, 10, 15-minute videos out of me. I think they're always going to be half an hour that I'll be aiming at. Though sometimes, like, they can end up like 20 to 25 minutes, but that doesn't mean I didn't record for very long and I was making a short video. That normally means I recorded for the usual length. There just didn't happen to be enough stuff worthwhile to make it a half hour video. And I'd rather kind of put out, therefore, a tighter, better video that's 20 to 25 minutes than kind of pad it with stuff I think's less good. But I'll probably put that to the vote probably the end of next week. Because as I say, there's going to be quite a few long videos next week. And I suspect after that, people kind of better keep in mind, actually, you know what, I would watch more videos if they were a little bit shorter. I can't spare as much time every day, especially during the week. But that's just something I'm going to be kind of thinking about this next week. Other stuff in September, obviously, I went to EGX. I actually met a few people at EGX. That was weird because I was getting, I kind of got my little kind of 100,000 subscriber plaque from YouTube. I was lucky because normally they just kind of like, well, normally they make you wait months and months and months for them, then they'll like mail them to you. So it's kind of, it's not much ceremony, it's just kind of a thing they just send to you. No, it's nice to have, it's kind of not much of an event. I was lucky because YouTube had a big stand at EGX, so basically they actually invited me as part of their stage to come up on stage in front of a small crowd and kind of receive my thing and just kind of talk for a second. And then they fired a confetti cannon basically into my face. They told me there was going to be like, you know, a little thing kind of going off at the front of the stage. But what they didn't tell me was like the confetti cannons were basically aimed at us. So it was like being shot point blank with a really cute shotgun. And it was quite surprising. It's a lot of confetti just shot straight in your face. It was really quite disorientating for a moment. But yeah, so I got that on stage and that was really, really cool. And actually, when I was coming off stage, there were like three different groups of people, I think like 5-6 people total, who were waiting at the side of the stage for me. And like I signed someone's copy of Fallout New Vegas and like another person just kind of wanted to chat and some people just wanted, I found it very surreal. The definition of internet famous, like, varies a lot. It's like a term that gets thrown around a lot, but no one really knows kind of how big you have to be on the internet for you to be internet famous. Like, is 100,000 subscribers big enough to be internet famous, or do you have to be a million before you're internet famous? A couple of people have used that term to me recently, so I don't know. Maybe I'm internet famous, maybe I'm not. But I always find it very surreal. I did a podcast the other day, for example. I was on the Fallout Show, I think it's called. And, like, two of them, who were actually like the co-hosts of the show, were fans. And there was a small element of fanboying during the show, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. I just find it very surreal because, you know, for me, this is just me sitting in a room doing a thing and putting it out into the world, same as it ever was. The fact that it's kind of got bigger doesn't change the way I do it. Like, for me, I still feel the same way about it and basically do it in the same way that I used to, you know, 2 years ago when we had barely any followers and it was just something I was doing for my own entertainment. So I find it very surreal if I kind of go out into a gaming event and like there's people there that are like proper hardcore fans that generally want me to like autograph things and so on. I find that very surreal. It's something I'm still kind of getting used to. But yeah, that was the thing that happened there. But it was cool. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying like I felt uncomfortable that people approached me or anything. I was totally fine with it. But it was very interesting and not something I'm kind of 100% used to yet. Someone asked for an update on Many a True Computer, the new PC. Basically, I put that on pause during September a bit because the transition to full time kind of eats a lot of time and setup and all sorts of boring behind the scenes stuff. Basically, I want to kick that off again properly today. I've got the funds kind of all set up ready for it. I just kind of want to, one of the things I actually wanted to wait for was the confirmation on the Fallout 4 specs, because I still haven't decided how I'm going to record Fallout 4. It'll either be PC or PS4. The only reason I say PS4 is it sounds like Fallout 4 is not going to be the most beautiful game in the world anyway. They've specifically flagged it's going to be functionality and size and mechanics rather than the most cutting edge graphics. So I feel like the gulf between PS4 and PC is not going to be that big. And if it's really, really modest, PS4 is the easiest for me to record off. Like, PS4 is the most stable footage. I can basically get footage off it really reliably. The recordings never fail. I've never had a single visual glitch that's come off PS4. I've never had a corrupted recording come off the PS4. The files are very small. They're very easy to work with. They load into my editing program very quickly. They render very fast. In general, if you can work with the PS4, I tend to do so because it's just a delight to work with. It's so much easier to work with than anything else I work with. But if there's like a big difference between the PC and the PS4 version, there's a good chance I'll end up working with PC. But now we know the Fallout 4 specs, and my understanding is they're a little bit more intensive than we thought. I'm now just going to put like another little update, probably in the Reddit community, because those are the people who are best at chatting to me about the tech side of the PC. And just say, this is what we agreed. Is this final version good? Are there any compatibility issues? And will this work well with Fallout? So I'll probably do that over the next kind of few days. And then we'll kind of get that process started off. Then I just need to get hold of the parts. Then someone to build it for me. Because I'm not bloody building it myself. No, do not comment. Oh, it's just like Lego. It's super easy. It's like £1,000 worth of computer equipment. And I've never done it before. I don't want to risk breaking any of it. I'm getting someone who knows what they're doing to do it. Though I will watch them and learn from them as they do it, but I'm not going to do it myself the first time. I don't care if kind of, you know, anything is simple and like Lego if you've done it enough times. I think of Late Republic and Latin as simple and like Lego, but I don't expect all of you to therefore be able to translate Cicero on your first go. In terms of the big games I'm going to be covering for all the rest of the month, obviously October 20th we've got Life is Strange, the finale. I'm hoping that that will come out. I think it's a Tuesday, October the 20th, if I recall correctly. So that'll probably be like the Tuesday through to the Thursday of that week. We've got Assassin's Creed Syndicate coming out at the end of that week too. I'm actually kind of excited about that one because there's going to be a trailer coming out in like a few hours' time. I think this will come out before the trailer does. But basically, next week on the channel is going to be Assassin's Creed week, because I've never really got into Assassin's Creed, but I kind of like the look of Syndicate because it sounds like basically just Batman crossed with Dishonored in a kind of a big open environment, London, and that sounds really cool. So I kind of want to play that, but I realize I'm kind of, maybe I don't know anything about the franchise and I probably should kind of, you know, just very quickly dip my toe in all of them. So we're doing Assassin's Creed week next week on the channel, where we're going to be going through 5 games from the Assassin's Creed franchise, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, and so forth. So we're going to be doing 1 game a day all of next week. There'll be a trailer for that out very, very shortly on the main channel. It's really cool, and I've actually been enjoying it a lot. I wouldn't say I'm like a hardcore fan of Assassin's Creed now, but I will say I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to, because like once I played like Assassin's Creed 1 for just like half an hour on someone else's copy, I didn't really enjoy it, I didn't really get it, I wasn't a huge fan, but like I've kind of come round to it a little bit, and some of the later games in the franchise I actually really enjoyed. So yeah, that'll be kind of starting next week, and that will kind of lead into Syndicate. I'll do that next week, and then a week after that, Syndicate comes out. And Syndicate, I suspect, will be at least a mini-series, so like most of the videos in a week will be the Assassin's Creed Syndicate videos. But, you know, I think that will be interesting, and I think it's a very cool thing. Halo 5 also comes out. I'll be playing Halo 5, but I don't know anything about the Halo franchise. I'm not going to bother kind of getting myself up to speed on that. I'm just going to play Halo 5 as it comes out, which I think will be hilarious because, like, I've seen all the adverts that, like, do the rounds on, like, YouTube and TV and stuff, where they're clearly kind of setting this kind of massive, great thing where Master Chief is this huge Spartan silent Jesus warrior and he is Earth's mightiest hero and all the amazing things he's done, and oh no, something's gone wrong and you are Spartan Locke or something and you have to hunt him down. It's the battle of the age. It's like, I have no idea who any of these people are. Don't know what a Halo is. It's a Beyonce song. We're done. Right, so I'm going to go. I feel like the game's taking itself very, very seriously, and I'm just going to be there with no bloody clue what any of these things are, which I think is going to be, I think it's going to be quite good. So I'm quite looking forward to recording that video. I think it's going to be hilarious. So those are kind of the big launches that I'll be covering for the rest of this month. Now, over to gaming-specific questions. Someone asked, will I do Dead Space? That's pretty classic Why Not Wednesday material, so that will be a Why Not Wednesday at some point or other. Though Why Not Wednesdays do sometimes get promoted to full series. That's what happened to Red Faction Guerrilla. That started as a Why Not Wednesday. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that will be a Why Not Wednesday material. I also actually have a little comedy skit video I've always wanted to make with Dead Space. So after I do the Why Not Wednesday, I'll probably do that soon afterwards as well. But I've always just had this thing I want to make with Dead Space that you'll probably kind of therefore see whenever Dead Space Why Not Wednesday comes out. Knights of the Old Republic, never actually played it, which is kind of odd, because like I'm not a huge Star Wars fan anymore. I used to be a huge Star Wars fan. I'm still like interested enough in Star Wars that like, you know, I'll go and see the new films pretty soon after they come out, for example. But Knights of the Old Republic I never really played. I don't really want to do it on YouTube, because you kind of can't, because, you know, a combination of the license holders, the publishers, etc. It's just one of those games that you shouldn't really play on YouTube. You probably get away with it, but you are exposing yourself to risk. So what I'm probably going to do is, that's probably a really good candidate for me live streaming it. So I will probably live stream that. Like, I'll do a full day of live streaming where I just kind of go through Knights of the Old Republic, and then I'll probably record the whole thing as well, and then like turn it into a little single highlights video that just won't be monetized. There won't be ads run in front of it, which should hopefully keep me out of trouble. Fallout 4, someone asked me what I'm going to be doing. It is just going to be doing a blind vanilla playthrough for my first time. I'm not going to do You Only Live Once first. You Only Live Once, if you don't know anything about the game, would be just really boring, because all it would make me do would be basically avoid conflict and wander around really, really slowly, taking no risks and doing nothing interesting, because interesting things could carry risk with them. You Only Live Once only works if I know the game well enough to kind of, you know, play it really smartly, I think, especially like I've shown that I think in Fallout 3. So it will just be blind vanilla playthrough. I'll do some guides. I'll just kind of flag interesting stuff I like. I might kind of make a couple of like fun extra videos about it, but I need to understand how the game works, specifically like just the core mechanics of gameplay and how the world interacts, before I can kind of do specific rule sets. So I have to understand it first, then I can do You Only Live Once, which will very likely happen. But things like kill everything, I can't confirm until I know how abused the essentials tag's been. If it's as bad as in Skyrim, it's just not workable. It's just not gonna work in the slightest. So, and I also need to know, kind of, say, for example, say if you go into a city, how bad it is if you start trouble, like whether the game basically just immediately just curb stomps you and you have no chance of like being able to do anything. Because like Fallout New Vegas, you can pretty early in the game just start clearing out towns, and that means that you've got a lot of flexibility to do what you want. And the same thing is kind of true in Fallout 3, albeit you'd need to prepare yourself a bit better first. But there's the possibility that the towns just might be so heavily defended that you just can't clear them out. So, you know, I'll just need to kind of experiment with the game and see what works and what doesn't. So I can't confirm that. Someone else asked about Dragon Age. Dragon Age, I would love to play because I love BioWare RPGs, but it's a big commitment because those are big chunky games in a big chunky trilogy. So again, that could be a candidate for streaming then video highlights. I mean, I like the idea of doing a series of it. I would basically need to be like a huge RPG commitment. It could happen in early 2016, which is a much quieter period for new releases, so there's a lot more time for me to kind of, you know, dig into some of the older games in the world. I'd probably be tempted to look, however, at Deus Ex, both the original and the new ones, before that happened first, though. That's kind of an RPG I do want to dig into at some point or other. Someone asked about Pokemon. I would do it tomorrow if Nintendo stopped being dicks. Or rather, the Pokemon company stopped being dicks. The two are closely connected, but they're not quite the same thing. But no, sadly, you're not really supposed to do that on YouTube. Nintendo are actually somewhat aggressive and nasty with policing that. So I just don't do anything Nintendo or affiliated or associated with Nintendo. Which is a shame, because like things like, I would love to do Eternal Darkness on the GameCube. I would love to do like some form of Pokemon Challenge run. That would be totally up my street. But I'm not going to, while Nintendo are being dicks. Not just because like it's risky for my channel, and like I don't want to take risks with the health of my channel, but also because what Nintendo is doing is actively hostile to YouTubers. They've taken a hostile anti-YouTuber position, and that's not cool. YouTubers, I think, in a perfect world, ought to work together, band together, and basically say, fine, we're boycotting all Nintendo products until they sort themselves out. If they don't want us, then we're not helping them. That's my position. It's a position like a lot of other YouTubers take. So, for example, you know, NerdCubes never really touches Nintendo games at all. Angry Joe's now basically said he's not touching Nintendo at all. A lot of people have basically just said, well, we're not doing Nintendo then. If you know, they're going to be complete dicks about it, then we're not giving you any coverage whatsoever. And I'm hoping eventually Nintendo will come round. And if they do, yes, you will almost certainly get Pokemon almost immediately. Did I know that you can put a silly hat on Dr. Lee in Rivet City by reverse pickpocketing her? No, I did not know that. Will I be putting a silly hat on her? Well, yes, I will now. And do I think that she'll be a bit part in Fallout 4? I'd almost be kind of surprised if she wasn't, because it almost doesn't make sense why she's not in the Broken Steel DLC in Fallout 3. And they have specifically said Fallout 4, they pretty much started developing the moment Fallout 3 ended. And Broken Steel obviously also came out after Fallout 3 was concluded. So you've got to kind of think, actually, Broken Steel and Fallout 4 were kind of in development at the same time. And Broken Steel, they made the decision that Dr. Lee was not going to be in the game anymore. Instead, she was going to have been moved to the Commonwealth. So you kind of got to feel like, actually, they set that up specifically to have her be in Fallout 4. So yes, I suspect she will be a bit part in Fallout 4 somehow. Someone asked about Alien Isolation because they really enjoyed Soma. So will I do Alien Isolation? I'm actually not sure. Soma, I wasn't in it for the horror and I wasn't in it for the sneaking around. I was in it for the story and the philosophical aspects of it. In fact, actually, you might notice in Soma Part 5, when you fall into the basement, you're just kind of sneaking around, hiding from the big lumbering blind lad. I basically cut all of that out. I pretty much skipped all of that. I didn't bother including it in the video because I didn't find it particularly interesting. I actually found that probably the most boring bit of the game by far. I didn't like Soma because it was like scary and unnerving and there was creepy hiding cupboards, big lumbering lads wandering around, will they find me or not? I liked Soma because of the deep thinking, uncomfortable philosophical decisions it made you take. So on that basis, like from what I've seen of Alien Isolation, it doesn't really have any of that. So I don't necessarily think it would work the same. So I'm not sure just because I did Soma I ought to do Alien Isolation. Instead, I ought to find, like, you know, some form of unnerving psychological experiment type game to do instead. But I don't think Alien Isolation is that game, to be honest. And a question I've been asked before, someone asked about the old Fallouts. I have dabbled in the old Fallouts, but like so long ago, I can barely remember it. So like, I freely say, like, you know, my ever expertise is 3 in New Vegas. 3 was the first Fallout game I got properly into, and New Vegas was like a game I kind of learned inside out. 1 and 2 I barely know at all. In fact, I've probably forgotten everything I know about them. My plan is, like, in early 2016, those will be games I actually go and like put some proper time into. So obviously, you know, Fallout 4 is going to pretty much dominate the rest of this year. But I'd say in 2016 you will get old Fallout on the channel, absolutely, because I kind of want to go back and experience those properly, because I know very little about them. I know a lot about the lore, rather oddly, because I know about like the lore of the old game, because I looked that up in order to inform like what's in Fallout 3, and particularly in Fallout New Vegas, because New Vegas makes a lot more references back to the original games. So I know quite a lot about like the lore and the story of what happens in those games, but I've never really got into them as games. So, you know, I owe it to do that, and I will get into doing that. And other non-game related questions. Well, kind of game related questions, but not quite questions related to specific games. Someone asked about my new workspace, because obviously there you remember that I kind of I moved house not long ago. I don't actually have a dedicated office, which kind of they were asking about. What I have now is, well, the situation where I used to live was basically I recorded in our living room, which was a problem, because that basically meant that whenever I was recording, which was pretty much every day during the weekend, then because I was speaking very loudly and kind of needed to be focused, it kind of meant Claire couldn't be in the living room. So basically, pretty much, you know, half of the weekend or more, every single weekend, I was basically telling Claire that she couldn't be in her own living room, which was not a good environment. And then I didn't actually have space in that room to actually kind of edit and so forth. So instead, I like had my computer setup was like in a little box room squeezed into a corner, and I was recording in a different room, and I had to like be kind of laying cables through the house to kind of link the computer together with the console. It was an absolute mess. It was a terrible setup. So while I don't have a dedicated office, what I do have now is like a big enough area of a room set aside for both recording and editing that is not the living room. So I've kind of got a side room that's kind of half dedicated to being my office, if you like. So I can be in here and Claire can still basically have access to the entire flat, and it doesn't kind of lock her out of any room, which is much, much better. The setup itself is actually fairly basic, by the way. Like, I don't like have a huge amount of particularly advanced equipment. I basically run off quite, I'm probably running off pretty much the same equipment I did when I started 2.5 years ago. PC footage gets recorded with Fraps, which is very, very basic. But, you know, my understanding is Total Biscuit still uses Fraps for recording all of his footage. So, you know, it's reliable. I've never really had a problem with it. It very rarely fails. I've got an original Elgato capture card for capturing off consoles. The problem is that that locks capturing to 30 FPS. So I'm going to upgrade that to the new one, the Elgato HD60. In fact, I ran into Elgato at EGX, and they said they were pretty much happy to send me one, which my understanding is they kind of do with most YouTubers of a certain size, because, like, if a YouTuber of a certain size uses their equipment, then if they ever get asked what they use, they say, oh, I use the Elgato HD60. And then, like, smaller YouTubers who want to become YouTubers therefore buy that equipment themselves. So it's worth it for them to basically just give equipment away. Obviously, like, that doesn't actually make that much difference for the FPS, because plenty of console games are locked to 30 FPS anyway, but there's a few that are 60 FPS. More importantly, it's got streaming built into it, so I'll be able to use that capture card to stream directly off the console with no delay into Twitch. So that will be exciting. So I mainly just want it so that I can kind of stream straight off consoles nice and easy. The most interesting factor about my setup is I've got kind of like a big TV and underneath it like a little kind of like a shelving unit with all the consoles on them. The fun thing about being a YouTuber is you never know what the front of your consoles look like anymore, because all your consoles are constantly turned sideways. Because you need to be able to access the front of the console so that you can take games in and out, and you need to always be able to access the back of the console so that you can kind of unplug the HDMI cable to decide which of the consoles ought to be plugged into your capture device today, depending on which console you're using. So therefore, the console always has to face sideways, so you've got the front one side on kind of one side of it and the back on the other side, so they're both accessible at all times. So none of my consoles face forward. Instead, I've just got the slightly ugly side of my consoles facing out to me at all times, which is the best thing about being a YouTuber, that you completely forget what the bloody front of a console looks like. Someone asked me about holiday, whether I'm kind of going to like set aside like days for holiday or anything like that now that I kind of work from home for myself. Kind of. I'm going to try and give myself a day off a week from recording. Obviously, you still get a video that day, just by building up a bit of a backlog. I've been very bad at that so far, but then I've kind of been building up a backlog of stuff so that I'm like a week ahead of myself, because I pretty much burnt all my reserves doing a video every day in August. That really pushed me to the limits because I was still working full time, and that basically burnt out my entire backlog. So I've been building up a backlog again of some extra videos so I can kind of sprinkle more videos around, and I'm kind of not panicking any given day, because it's a really horrible feeling to kind of know, to get up in the morning and know that you have to record something that's going to be the video of that afternoon. Because if you do that, if you like have a problem with the recording, if you have like a visual glitch or a recording failure, what do? You can't do that video anymore, and then you've got to kind of scramble around for another one, or you have to make your apologies, which isn't fun. So I've built up a bit of a backlog now. Most of next week's Assassin's Creed week is already recorded, everything but the final video on Friday. So I've already recorded four of those videos, so that's pretty good. And as we kind of enter the period where there's going to be loads of releases, it's a bit of an awkward situation, because, like, say for example, I know that probably 3 days are going to have Life is Strange on them, but I can't record those videos until the day Life is Strange comes out. So like there's like a big period in late October and then during November, when I know, you know what, there are going to be videos here, but I cannot prepare them ahead of time, which kind of puts me in a bit of an awkward situation. But it's kind of a good situation, because if I know, for example, that from like October 20th to the end of October, there's basically not a single video I can record ahead of time, then that kind of means, like, if I can get Life is Strange, record all three parts of it, and then release those on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm in a bit of a situation where I can say, well, what do I record on Wednesday and Thursday? Because Assassin's Creed Syndicate isn't out yet, so I can't record that. So potentially I can have like a day off on Wednesday or Thursday. So, you know, it'll be a busy, exciting period, but also at, you know, the very height of the release schedule, actually there's a decent opportunity to have a day off occasionally, so that's nice. And finally, most importantly of all, someone asked me to talk about the weather because I'm British and apparently I don't do that enough. I probably do, but then I just edit out of the videos. If I ever started rambling about the weather, I probably just immediately, when I got to editing, thinking, what the hell did I do that? Right, cut that entire section. So what did I think of the British summer this year? We had a good summer this year. Well, we had a good summer kind of by the objective standards of, was it hot and dry? Well, yes it was. I personally don't enjoy that. I don't like hot summers. It always bothers me. I always prefer winter, because if you're cold, you can just kind of, when you're trying to go to sleep, you can just pile more and more quilts over yourself until you're nice and toasty. But if you're like, if it's the heat of summer and you're in a heat wave, there's only so much you can do to cool yourself down. So like there's no real way to correct the temperature if it's too hot. So I don't like it when it's a heat wave. But we've had a very hot summer, albeit with some very unpredictable weather as well. We've had some, you know, some very some very dark, heavy rain periods together with some very strong sunlight. So it's been a bit on and off. So, you know, it's nice to have a bit of rain occasionally just to freshen up the sky. I wish we'd had a bit more rain, quite frankly, during this summer. But, you know, it's been a decent summer, I think. It's a sunny day today. So, you know, this is probably, like, weather-wise, one of my favourite times of the year. So that's nice. In fact, it's a lovely sunny day today. I'm recording this just this morning, as in literally you're going to get this Saturday afternoon. I'm recording this on Saturday morning. So as soon as I'm done recording this, I'm going to go out and kind of get some lunch for the day. And I'm just peering out the window there. It looks like it is very sunny today. So that will be a lovely walk. Claire and I will probably wander into town together. It will be very nice indeed. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. That is October Patreon Cast. Welcome aboard, all of you folks who decided to join after I went full-time. I do hope that you've enjoyed this and the other previous Patreon Cast that you can find those just by kind of scrolling down through the Creator Post tab on Patreon. So all of those will be linked to you there. They're all still fully available. I do hope you've enjoyed the Patreon Cast. I do hope that you kind of feel like you can see the difference of me going full-time. I think I'm producing better videos, longer videos. And one thing that that really kind of I think is a sign to me that I'm doing the right thing is more than one person has said to me, when they listen to me kind of doing videos recently, they think I sound happier, that I laugh more, and I sound happier in general. And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled if that's the case, because I like to think that, you know, that level of being more relaxed and more enthusiastic will kind of come through. But there we are, ladies and gentlemen. That is indeed October Patreon Cast. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed the videos. And I hope you're looking forward to some fantastic launches in the rest of October. And indeed, the November Patreon Cast will happen. Actually, should the November Patreon Cast happen? Should I delay that till after Fallout 4 comes out? I don't know. Yeah, I probably will, actually. As this one's a few days late, because I wanted it to be, a month after I went full-time, I'll probably delay the November Patreon Cast to shortly after Fallout 4 comes out, so I can, talk to you about my feelings about Fallout 4. So, the November Patreon Cast will probably come at, somewhere around, the 15th or something. Maybe a bit early. Maybe I'll put it midweek after Fallout 4 comes out. I don't know. But expect it soon after Fallout 4 comes out. And in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I've been John. This has been Many a True Nerd, and this has been the October Patreon Cast. Thank you very much, and goodbye.